Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
Or not.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to She Struts Radio. I am not Deborah. Deborah is out chilling today. She has exhausted herself with all the goodness that is TEDx in Baltimore, and she left myself, Deletta Gillespie, and Asia Maxton holding down the fort for her. So welcome to She Struts Radio. And once again, I'm Deletta Gillespie, singer, songwriter, educator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, performing artist. And tonight I am sitting in the saddle with Asia.
I'm Asia Maxton. Hello, friends. And I am also an actress, writer, educator, mother, daughter, sister, friend.
Right. And this evening, I am so delighted to be hosting with my partner, co-hosting with my partner, Asia, who's also my amazing prayer partner. Yay.
Woo-hoo.
So we're going to get down and deep into the notion of life is short, how you living. And I think as we look at the start of the new year, some of us are still trying to get our resolutions in place. Some of us are still trying to build structures for ourselves that will allow us to be our best selves. Some of us are still working on the vision boards like me. I've gotten the boards and I've cut out a few things and nothing is pasted. That's been on the to-do list already, but that's okay. I'm going to get there. And the backdrop of our conversation tonight is Natalie Cole's passing away, as well as that of David Bowie. And as we began to speak to Deborah about the topic of the show tonight, that seemed to come up again and again and again, knowing that we all act as though we have forever. And the truth of the matter is one of the things I always say is that every day I live is one less day I have to live. So using that as a backdrop for our conversation today, we're going to talk about how are you living and what things are getting in the way of you living the life that you desire for yourself. And I'm hoping that we get a bunch of calls and people can weigh in on their on tips and strategies on how to get out of our own way, so to speak, tips and strategies on how we can really move our lives forward and leave some of the behaviors and attitudes that might get in our way, how to leave those behind. So I'm going to bounce it back to Asia, and we also have a couple callers on the air. Hello, callers. Want to thank everybody for joining us, And go right ahead. If you want to call in and chime in, give us a call, 718-766-4468. Asia.
So shout out to George for being our first caller and on time. I really appreciate you.
Hey, George.
I don't know if we can hear him anymore. Oh, we can hear him. You're live.
Yeah, I put it on mute in order to, you know, I wanted to listen, so I want my ambient noise getting in the way. Hi, Asia.
Hey. We're just talking about kind of best practices for this life thing, because it can be a lot challenging, and we're losing people left and right. And I really think, you know, oftentimes about, I have a mission statement for my life, and I think about what I want people to say. I think the last part of my mission statement is, at my funeral, I want to make my own toast. And, you know, I go and say, she laughed, she lived, she had a kid, she's love and joy, she's done because she did. She met hatred with humanity. She wrote, she writ, she suffered, she struggled, but she just wouldn't quit. She inspired, she shared, she made use of her gifts. God is good, though life's not fair. She's gone back home, we'll see her there. And so anytime I start to get stuck.
Amen. You know, amen. I love it.
Thank you. And that's just the end. But whenever I start to get stuck in life or frustrated or lost, I go back to my own personal mission statement. So that's one practice that I would share. I know several other people who have done it. But if you haven't done it yet, you know, everybody has a mission statement for their company. People have mission statements for their business. I think it's important that, you know, we have a mission statement for our lives and that we remember, you know, what we're here for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I have a mission statement as well, and it is pretty much wrapped up in my entertainment company, New Relic Entertainment, and it is that I create work that helps shift, that helps encourage conversation and courageous conversations, as Devorah likes to say, and helping to uplift people. The topics are usually socially, spiritually, educationally relevant. I like to entertain people. I like to educate people through the work that I do and to build bridges between communities, and especially with one of the shows I have called Songs of Protest, Songs of Peace. And I love it when I have people of all rainbows, all walks of life, who are in the room singing We Shall Overcome and holding hands and doing the marches like they used to do in the old days. So I get that. I also have a life statement, and that is just to, I love Marianne Williamson. The one of her prayers says, "Dear God, use me that I might know the joy of being used by you." And that's sort of my life statement. I've adopted that because it just makes so much sense, because that's ultimately what we're here to do, to share our gifts in any way we can, whether it's a great big old smile or, you know, we're running a nonprofit. I think that all our mission is basically the same. And then I love that you said you wanted that piece to be read at your own funeral, because I also have, I used to say I wanted this on my epitaph, but since I'm going to be cremated, I don't say that anymore. But what I do say, and I want it to be on my memorial program, she lived and died with no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
She lived and died with no regrets. So how many people can say that? Are you one of those people who can say that? Do you have a life statement or a mission statement or the thing that you want to read as people celebrate your transition? Let us know. Give us a call, 718-766-4468. And once again, I'm Deletta Gillespie, Asia Maxton sitting side saddle with me. We are sitting in for the amazing Devorah Ricks tonight. And yes, go. So we have a couple of people that are listening. Please feel free to chime in at any time if you choose.
And
so
if they
Asia,
want to chime in, they just press 1, yes?
Just press 1, absolutely.
So if you have something to add to the conversation, please just press the number 1. And, you know, Devorah and I were speaking. I'm sorry, not Devorah. Deletta and I. It's Devorah's show. But Deletta and I were speaking this morning, and we just had the most natural conversation that lasted for, you know, about an hour. So we can definitely gab on and on, not to mention these amazing notes and quotes that you sent me, Deletta. You made me think of one. First of all, before I get into the quotes, let me take a moment and shout out the beauty with which you just self-promoted inside of your mission statement. That was really beautiful. That how you slid in the company, and there was something else that you slid in there. You can tell me again. Your company, and was it the name of the show? What was that?
Yeah, it was the name of the show. I have a company called New Relic Entertainment, and I basically produce shows. I'm a playwright as well. I've written about 12 plays, 5 which have actually gotten productions, and I also create a lot of cabaret shows, and they're all around socially relevant themes, and I perform them all over the region, actually. So one of them is Songs of Protest, Songs of Peace, and that is movement
that
of...
That was it.
Yeah, songs of from this African diaspora, so the civil rights movements throughout the African diaspora. And so I have songs from We Shall Overcome to Senzanina, which is an African, South African chant. that they sing or at funerals, and it is Sinsinina, Sinsinina, repeat, repeat. What have I done? What have I done? Is the answer, and the answer comes back. What is my crime? My crime is that I am Black. And so, we just talk about all those songs. I have one that deals with women's empowerment, and or the second version of Songs of Protest, Songs of Peace, and that particular version I perform specifically with the Monument Quilt Tour. And many of you may or may not know of their work, but they basically provide a public space for survivors of rape and domestic violence to talk about their experiences. And so I'm a healing artist, and usually with sound, music, I help support that tour. And so I have that show, and I have a couple of others. And then, of course, Good and Yummy has been doing really well lately. So that's great.
Awesome.
That's a show all about food, all about food.
On the self-promotion piece, because as artists, it is such a challenge sometimes to really talk about ourselves in an empowering way. And those of us who are empaths, we're really good at, you know, supporting others and promoting others. But I think it's really important that we learn how to self-promote. And, you know, we talk a lot about manifesting and speaking things into existence. And, you know, really telling people, you know, who you are and what you do, I think. And, again, with the thing with the mission statement, and this goes back to, you know, part of the conversation we were having this morning, I think one of the most important things that I've learned in this life thing is that you have to know who you are. You have to know who you
Absolutely.
Are because the world will spend so much energy trying to tell you who you are not. And I have a great example of that. I wrote a blog last week about Trevor Noah, who I adore. If anyone's on who doesn't know, Trevor's a comedian from South Africa. He hosts The Daily Show now every night at 11 p.m. on Comedy Central. I'm going to shout him out. But, you know, I watched his documentary. It's called You Laugh, But It's True. And one of the things that I found really fascinating was he had some real haters, like haters that were willing to go on camera and say things like he's untalented. And it was interesting, there was a lot of white South Africans that were talking about how, you know, he wasn't talented and he was just benefiting from affirmative action. Oh, and they called him arrogant, because arrogant is a word that is so often used to describe people who are sure of themselves, you know.
Right.
And I think we misuse it oftentimes. I tend to gravitate towards people that other people think are arrogant. I find them easier to love. They know who they are, and they practice self-love. And I think there's a difference between, to me, the difference between that kind of confidence and the kind of arrogance that is a turnoff to people is that the kind of arrogance that is a turnoff to people is usually, I would associate with people who think they're better than someone. And you know, I know from interacting with you, for example, Bella, that you don't think that you're better than anyone, and that you, like me, are really committed to, you know, helping people and supporting people. But you have to know, like, who you are and what you're here for. I found the call with Dr. Craig Wright last week, Deborah's show, where if anybody missed it, Craig Wright is a numerologist, and he was giving reading for us, and he was so on point. And I found that so helpful because he talked about how we have a contract with God. We have a soul contract, and we have something that we're here for. And when he told me all of the things that he told me, I know these things already, but it's good to have the affirmation. Just like when my daughter used to always ask me, why do you always tell me I'm beautiful? Why do you always tell me I'm beautiful? I said, because it is a truth that the world will quickly try to make you forget. And I'm not sure what that's about, you know. I think it's just that there are a lot of miserable people in the world. So, you know, part of my mission on this planet is to live a life that I love and inspire people to do the same. Because I think when people are living lives that they love, they're not trying to bring other people down. You know,
that's right.
Oprah that said, truly powerful, successful people want other people to be powerful and successful. You know?
Absolutely.
I was just reading the intro to this Outliers book. Have you read it, Delilah?
I have not, but it is on my to-do list.
Good stuff. The very first chapter, the intro, was talking about it was talking about a community that was showing signs of being like super healthy, and they didn't have heart disease. The people under 65 were showing that they didn't have any heart disease, and they were just extraordinarily healthy in this one particular community of people that had migrated from Italy to Pennsylvania, but they were all from the same village. And long story made short, he says that ultimately what they found out is that the reason that these people were so healthy boiled down to the community that they created. It was a world that they created where they were cooking in each other's backyards and, you know, three generations living under one roof, which I actually do, you know, and
that's right,
supporting each other. That keeps us healthy, like the connection. Russell Simmons, I know you're reading his book. He talks a lot about connection. And he says, you know, lack of expression causes depression.
Absolutely.
And he says, isolation will make you sick. He's also the reason why I don't use the word hate anymore, almost ever, because he said that the word hate, the word itself, will make you sick. So
interesting.
Our thoughts are so powerful. Our words are so powerful. Our vibration are so powerful.
Right. So when we think about the words we use, when we think about our vibrational level, when we think about this community of people that you mentioned, I want to come back to our conversation. It appears that these people were living very intentionally. And I want to know how many of you are living intentionally. How many of you are living with the idea or the notion that our days really are numbered and that you really are on a mission to do something? How many of you are knowing that you have something to do, but always find reasons or excuses? Some of them may be excuses. I don't say that with judgment, but how many of us really are standing in our own way? And then sometimes life does happen. So after life, how do you get yourself back on track? I think of a friend who did not, her parents, I know a lot of people my age, midlife, are dealing with parents, you know, they're becoming parents to their own parents and parenting children at the same time, or grandchildren. So how do you get yourself back on track there? And I see we have a caller, just opened up the phone line. Hello?
You just call the first three digits of their number so they know it's them.
Gotcha.
Can you tell them what number you see?
I see a 917. Well, sometimes people, they dial in and they just want to listen. So we will let that be if that's the case. But thank you. Please join in anytime. But I just wonder how many times people are thinking, you know, how do you get back on track if you have been sidetracked? And I think that we always think that tomorrow, oh, we have tomorrow, I can do that tomorrow. But the truth of the matter is that tomorrow doesn't always come. And I think about so many people who have, you know, we make plans, and then things don't happen, and we look up, and 10 years or 15 years have gone by. I have a friend who intended to go back to school, and he moved back to Baltimore and took classes one semester and never went back. And now it's 15 years later and he's almost 60 and he's trying to go back to school, and it's a lot different now. So it's just, I just wonder how many people. We got someone with a 301 prefix that just joined us. So talk to
welcome.
Us, folks, if you welcome. So I just wonder how many people, and I think about this, I'm going to share a quote from the book called The Lessons from the Dying with Rodney Smith, and he says, at one time or another, we have all been too busy to notice the beauty before our eyes. We find ourselves moving too quickly through an event, not really seeing it at all, rushing on toward the next thing we have to do. We usually look through the present toward an idea about where we are going. This leaves us feeling unsettled in the moment as we try to grasp the next. And when we are dying, we may find it difficult to ignore the immediate beauty of the now. We appreciate life because we have precious little time left to live, and nowhere else we have to go. And that's, again, from a book called Lessons from the Dying by Rodney Smith. So how many of us go through life moving so fast, having a to-do list that we make out for one day that really, really, really probably would take us a good week to do it well, and we're tired, et cetera, et cetera. And then what happens to our dreams? And why do we postpone the things that are so important to us? So once again, if you want to join the conversation, whether you want to chime in or listen, please do so at 718-766-4468. We have another person who's joined the conversation or joined the line at 443. So welcome, everyone. Please feel free. If you want to put your two cents in, we will gladly take it.
So, anytime. Yeah. I think one of the ways that I'm able to get back on track, well, one thing I was talking to a friend who I believe has joined the call now about this earlier, or texting with her, about the fact that we get signs. You know, I'm a big reader of signs. And I think meditation helps a lot with learning to read the signs. And I am a studier of, you know, universal religion. So I've studied a lot of different religions, and I look for universal truth. I look for what is everybody saying. Everybody is saying there's some value in being silent and still. Mm-hmm. Everybody is saying there's some value in fasting occasionally from something, you know. Everybody is saying that if you are silent and still enough, you can hear something. Now, whether you call that God or spirit or intuition or insight or your inner voice, that's up to you. But there are little teeny signs. And, you know, small example of that today, my friend, you know, we were texting back and forth, and she was talking about all of the plans that she has and the things that she wants to do, and she's very ambitious, much like myself. And she said, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then I said, okay. So she says, I got to start taking my vitamins. And I said, thank you for the reminder.
Right.
I need to take my vitamin. Like, I haven't been taking my vitamins lately, something that small. And so then I started to do an exercise video. I put the exercise video on, and as soon as the video came on, it said, this is your reminder to take your vitamins. Okay. Clearly, it's a small thing that I need to take a vitamin, you know, or someone posted something this morning on Facebook. They posted a song. I can't remember who sings it. Maybe you know the letter. It's called I'm Walking. Is that Mary Mary?
Yes. You know? I'm walking, yeah. Walking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one.
So they posted that. And then I took my dog on a walk. And as I'm walking, I hear the song, I'm Walking, you know. And it's little things like that. When those teeny tiny things start to add up for me, that's when I can tell I'm on the right track. And when I'm not on the right track, I go back to a set of practices that I think I've told you about before, Deletta. And I got these practices from my father years ago, when I was after a breakup, and, you know, he says to me, okay, right, you know, you will be in a relationship again before you know it, but in the meantime, like, take this time, get yourself together. He said, read, write, work out, meditate, drink water. And I have since added to that list, create order.
Yes,
so
yes.
Those are the practices for me that when I'm off track, help me to get back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I say meditate and pray? Read, write, work
no.
out. Okay.
But I know that's part of it just because I know you. But I agree. It's so funny. I had several thoughts that ran through my head, but since I have one mouth and a brain, that functions a whole lot faster than my mouth. The thing that I will comment on is the fact that I think one of the things that does help, in fact, I know, is finding some order and finding some structure that helps us to get through those times. And I think, the other thing was that symbols. How many of us, and I'm just throwing this out to our listening audience and everybody who might be tuned in or who is going to tune in later, just ask yourselves, how many times do you get reminders or notices or symbols, or we think that things that are happening are coincidence, which actually the way we use coincidence is all wrong anyway. And I challenge anybody to look up the word coincidence, and I think that you won't use it the same way anymore. But we see the signs, I like to call them signs, and we have guidance, and sometimes we just don't pay attention, or we say, yeah, I'll get to that later, or whatever the case may be. And I just want to remind everybody that there is no need to rush, but there is a sense of urgency about our lives, because every breath that we take, one less. Like I said, I actually wrote a song called Last Day on Earth, and it is, what if, I wonder how long I have to live, because every day I live is one less day I have to live, and it's real. And I think about my own life, and I am 55, and I'll be 56 this year. And I remember my high school prom like it was yesterday. I remember my graduation like it was yesterday. I remember when I first got hired to work on the Song of America like it was yesterday. And I was blessed enough to live in Bermuda for 15 years. And I remember what it was like stepping off that plane at Kinley Field, and it was like it was yesterday. And I've been back to the States almost, will be 10 years this year, and it flies. It really does fly. It really does. And so people need
to
really.
And a lot of the things that we think are important are not, right?
Oh, God, let's not go there yet. That's a whole nother conversation. Oh, my God, how many of us? Yes, hello. Welcome.
Hi, it's Anna Temple. Can you hear me?
Hey, Anna.
Yes.
I can hear you.
To interject, I just wanted to.
Don't you be sorry. We're gonna make you go back and not apologize. Hey, Anna Temple, Rodney.
Not sorry one bit. But no, I wanted to interject it because this past year, 2015, I spent a lot of time being still, not because I wanted to, but because that's what my life requires. And normally I'm very like, let's go, I want this, let me do this, how do I get here? I'm very like action oriented. And this year I just couldn't be. Like at the beginning of last year, I couldn't move, and then I was occupied with my son and all of that was going on with him, and I couldn't move. And I'm just now getting to the place where I feel comfortable moving. But as I'm starting to move, I'm realizing the lessons that have come to me in that silence.
Always.
And while I was going through it, because I'm so action oriented, I'm an Aries, so I'm like used to being around people and popular and friends. And that last year was probably one of the loneliest years I've ever had, and that's where my truth came. And so I found myself this year, at the beginning of this year, I didn't make any resolutions, but I don't really believe that the first of the year. Of January is the first of the year, but that's a different conversation. I was riding the collective emotional wave, we'll say, of newness and freshness starting over. And as I start to move forward, I'm operating in a way that is foreign to me, because these lessons are now coming into play, and I've spent so much time just collecting the lessons and sitting in it and soaking in it and soaking in it, And I think that sometimes we overthink sometimes we overthink, oh, well, I need to do this to be centered, and I need to, sometimes we just need to stop.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and if you don't, the universe will assist you.
Oh, yeah.
If you refuse to be still and silent on your own, the universe will assist you, and it may assist you through sickness. It may assist you through getting fired. It may assist you, but it will assist.
Well, Anna, I agree 100%, and I think of the times in my life where I have had a huge leap in my spiritual growth, and it has always been in times of silence where I've just sort of withdrawn, if you will, and I just remember several years where I did the basics. I went to work, I came home, and I basically read, gazed out of a window, or just sat in the quiet. And it's just, you know, you hear things that you don't know that you want to hear, but they're there and you can't run from them. So I totally understand.
That's an important point too, Jaletta. I think to take a moment and say what you just said, I think people need to know that or be reminded of that, because we all know that sometimes we hear things we don't want to hear. And I think that's important, because when I've talked to people about meditation or journaling, which is one of my very important practices, I learned much through journaling. And I've had people say to me, you know, I started to meditate and it hurt too bad. You know, all of this stuff came up. Or I started to journal and all of this negative stuff came out. In my own experience, I remember... and you were my partner then too, Jaletta. You remember when we were doing the visioning, and Harvey was leading it, and Harvey said the difference between visualization and visioning is that visualization is when you ask what you want. Visioning is when you ask what God wants for you.
Absolutely.
And he said visioning is the higher path. And I thought to myself, I remember, I think I asked you, okay, well, visioning is a higher path. Why wouldn't everybody vision? You know, he said, well, you can do whichever one you want, but visioning is a higher path, and you can do whichever one you want. So why wouldn't everybody take the higher path? And then I found out, because that hurts. It hurts so bad.
It began
to get that silent and that still. And one of the things that opened up for me is that I have to take responsibility for my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have to own it. I have to look at my cause and what I have created, you know, and that's not always an easy thing to do. The results are worth it. And so when you ask, like, you know, when we slip off of that path, I think a lot of times we're trying to avoid dealing with ourselves.
Right. And it's a scary thing. It can be a real scary thing. Sometimes we don't think we're ready. So, Anna, are you still there?
I am, and I actually had something to interject there.
Sure.
But today, for instance, I haven't worked for a whole year. I'm home with my son, and that was something that was important to me and I needed to do. And I decided that I was ready to go back to work. And literally the only thing I needed to do was decide. And I'm getting emails from old employers. I'm getting referrals from, you know, coworkers. I'm getting emails for personal, I have a personal business that I run, getting emails and inquiries about that. And all it took was for me to just resolve to say, okay, I'm going to go back to work. And I was talking to Adrian earlier today, and I was just like, I'm scared. It happened so quickly. It was so easy. All I had to say was, I'm ready. And the floodgates opened, and I was like, wait, I don't know if I can do it.
Right. You got to be careful what you ask for.
That's right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's what we do. We ask for what we want, and we get it. And then we're like, no. And then later on.
All
like,
the time. Or realize I wasn't prepared. That's why I listen to that Jill Scott song all the time. I just want to be prepared.
Well, you know, I think about it like this, and it works inversely as well, because I remember many years ago when I was entertaining, that's what I do for a living. That's the primary thing. I'm shifting to that, back to that. And I was complaining about a specific hotel that I was working at. And I was like, oh, this job, it's like whatever, and I'm just background music and nobody's paying attention to me and et cetera, et cetera. And I would say, I wish I had a better opportunity. This is good, but I'm not feeling this. And then, of course, you know, every thought is a prayer. Every word is a prayer. And I get called into the office of the hotel, and they said they're releasing me for the rest of the contract. And I go home, and I'm all angry. And, well, how dare they do this to me? And we had a contract. And what my housemate at the time says, Dee, I don't know why you're upset. You asked for this. So you have to be careful.
Come on. And then you gave it to me?
Yes. Or I remember last year saying to God that I was in a situation that I, another work situation. I said, dear God, thank you. Get me out of here as soon as possible. And boy, as soon as heavenly possible, I said. And that was it. As heavenly possible. And don't you know, then again, it's like this 2-week thing. I got the phone call. And it's like, well, yeah, God, but I think I wanted to have something to go to. And it's like, well, you didn't ask for that. You just have to get out of it.
You have to learn to be very specific. You have to learn
right.
to be very specific.
Absolutely.
And God and the universe has a sense of humor about these things.
Oh, absolutely. I agree, too. 718-766-4468 is the number to call in. We've got someone else that's joined us on 443. And I want to ask folk again. We're going to go to the questions that Deborah has posted here. And the first question is, what might it take for you to live your best life? And as we ponder that, I'm going to play a little bit of David Bowie. All right. Think about it. What might it take for you to live your best life? Meditate on that while I play this. Melody there, that ditty from David Bowie, who left us this week, left an impressive body of work. And actually, he, according to the sources of one of his co-conspirators and the play that he had written and put on Broadway with his co-conspirators, he had been suffering with liver cancer, gotten the diagnosis about 18 months ago, and he continued to work every day. My understanding from what I've read is that he went to work in the recording studio because he also released his CD, his latest and last CD, Lazarus, last weekend. And my understanding is that he went to the studio every day from 11 to 4 and recorded, sang his butt off, according to the engineers. And then he left in the evenings and went to the theater and helped supervise the production of the play. And actually was there at opening night in December, just last month. And that was his work ethic. And I want to share this quote with you, and then we're going to jump back to the question that I asked. And it was, David quote said, as you get older, the questions come down to about 2 or 3. How long? And what do I do with the time I've got left? So, with that being the backdrop, I ask, what might it take for you to live your best life? Once again, 718-766-4468. All the lines are open. Talk to us.
Well, while we're waiting for them, I will tell you that what came to me in that brief David Bowie meditation was that preparation again. Preparation. Mm-hmm. Diletta, did you get this word from TJ, that word discipline? I want to make sure I'm giving credit.
Well, I didn't coin it. It was, I read it somewhere. Someone used it once they had spoken to Michael Bernard Beckwith of Agape Center.
Ah.
I think he's the one that's credited with that phrase, blissipline.
Blissipline. And I wrote down, I thought about, you know, two of my favorite professors. One gave me a card at the end of my undergraduate matriculation, and it was discipline. And the other one gave me a card at the end of my graduate graduation, and it was balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think, you know, preparation is just key. It goes back to what Anna was saying, that we get these opportunities, and we said we wanted it, but were we really prepared? Or I like the way my friend and Nzinga's husband, Rashman's also my friend, so I shouldn't just call him Nzinga's husband. My friend Rashman, who happens to be Nzinga's husband, said that his grandma used to say, if you don't get to go, get ready.
Right. Right. I love that. I love that.
I know. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was talking to anybody.
Hi. Right. Thank you. We want to remind everybody to push one. Thank you. Anna, yes, right. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Anna. To answer your question, I know for me, living my best life has really been about clearing the clutter. About that keeps coming up. It's called The Art of Decluttering, I think. I might be calling it the wrong name, but it's basically, the author says to pick up everything in your house. If it brings you joy, you keep it. And if it doesn't bring you joy, then you toss it or you give it away.
Right.
And I am definitely a clutter bug. I'm an artist, and so there's paintings and books and all types of stuff everywhere. But I've taken that practice with my circle, with my people, with the people that are around me, the experiences that I'm having. And I'm being very deliberate about, is this experience going to make me feel good? Am I going to get joy out of it? And if not, then I just kind of let it pass. And the slip up today, I don't apologize for it. You know, like, someone invited me out with a group of their friends, and I usually go out because we all went to college together, but sometimes it can be catty. And so she's like, oh, let's go, you know, we haven't seen them. And it's true, I haven't seen them in a long time, and I'd like to get to, you know, see what everybody's up to. But the idea and the remembering of the fact that every time I'm with that group of people, I feel uncomfortable at some point. It's like, I don't want to spend my time that way. I want to spend my time feeling fulfilled and comfortable and confident and happy. And the people that I'm spending my time with aren't bringing those emotions out of me or enhancing those emotions, as it should say, then I don't want to be a part of it.
They are personified clutter.
Clutter. That is a wonderful thing. I like that. Clutter personify. Personify clutter. Wow. Thank you, Anna.
That's
just being careful about who you choose to spend your time with. That is a form of clutter. You're cluttering up your space with people that are not helping you feel your highest and best possible person. And that's important.
Right.
It's It's important.
That goes back
to
what we were talking this morning about protecting your energy.
Right.
You know.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, woo. And I'm good for, you know, going into kind of places where the energy needs to be transformed. That is part of my mission. But it's different than how we choose to spend our free time, our leisure time. I'm with you on that one. I also wanted to say, I don't know if everyone who's on this call knows this, but you made me think, Anna, with the whole, this is an example of how the universe will support you in ways that you didn't necessarily imagine. I was saying that I go through these steps when I'm in a transition. So I quit my job in June. I did not know where I was going or what I was doing. I do know that I want to travel and I want to spend some time abroad, specifically in South Africa. But I wasn't sure, you know, how that was going to work out, what was next. I knew I had enough money to take a few months off, and I needed a break. That's all I knew. And so I went into my transition mode, read, write, work out. I got a pool membership. It was awesome. Meditate, pray, check. There's an Insight Timer app, if anyone has not heard of that yet, that's great for meditation that I use. I also do Oprah Chopra meditations pretty often. But so I get to the part about creating order. And one evening, my room was a mess. My house was a mess. My life was a mess. My car was a mess because I had just given all of my energy to these kids. And when people would say, what are you doing next? I'm like, listen, I'm giving 100% to these kids until the last day of school. So here it is a couple weeks after the last day of school, and my friend is having a clothing exchange. And so I threw a couple of things in a bag at the last minute, and I knew I should have brought more. And I should have gotten rid of more, just like, you know, what Anna was saying, throw away anything that doesn't bring you joy. But I didn't really take the time. I would like to say I didn't have the time, but I did not prioritize creating order. So I got to my friend's party that night, and I told her, I said, you know, that I'm going through this transition, and I'm having the hardest time creating order. 4 o'clock the next morning, my room caught on fire. My bedroom caught on fire, which is pretty much where I keep, you know, 85% of my stuff. And there was an electrical fire, and the room was almost totaled, forcing me to go through every single thing that was in this room. And there was this period of complete chaos that I had to go through. I had to inventory. I had to deal with the insurance. And I'm sitting in my new room, and Valetta, you've been here, and so much better than anything I could have created if the room had not been totaled. Okay. The universe said, okay, you're having trouble creating order? I gotcha.
Well, exactly. And I think that, like you said, that sometimes we are fulfilling our contract, and sometimes that we need a little shove. And I also have that story about not having or being released from my job, is how I like to say it. They didn't re-sign my contract, and not knowing what the heck I was going to do. And 18 months later, I'm still standing. There's always room for growth and improvement. But it's very similar to the journey that Anna took. I had to get still and really reevaluate what was really important to me. And especially at my age, when people are saying things like, well, you need to get a job with the state so you can get a retirement, and you need to do this, and you only have 10 years left, and how much do you have in retirement? And it's so funny, the whole notion of, you know, all the I watch the football games, and you know, half of the advertisements for our financial services, and it's like, you know, it shows up. But I decided that that my journey is my own, and
yes, absolutely.
My definition of success is living life on my own terms.
Yes.
And while a lot of people have saved their whole lives to retire and take vacations and do that, I've done that as I've gone along. And so everything, to the point where everything I had really wanted to do in my life, I had done at 40. And all I'm doing at this point in my life is making it up. But I had done every dream I ever had, I had accomplished by the time I was 40. And I think I was reminded of something that my grandmother used to say. She used to open her Christmas presents up the day before Christmas, or whenever we gave them to her. If we gave her her Christmas present 2 weeks before Christmas, she would open it right then and there. And we would get so frustrated. We would say, Tana, that's what she liked to be called. She didn't like to be called grandmother. She'd say, we'd say, Tana, why are you opening your gifts now? And she says, well, I might not live that long. And we thought it was the craziest thing, but there's some truth to that, you know, although I think there's nothing wrong with waiting for, you know, waiting, but that was her idea of life. She wanted to live now. She wanted to grasp a hold of the joy now. She didn't want to wait. And I wonder how many of us actually do that on a daily basis. I know we have our obligations, but at the same time, how many of us have made our lives, our own joy, our own fulfillment, our mission? How many of us have done that? And I think that's the lesson that David Bowie left us, and that's the lesson. I mean, so many great artists, but I think about him. I think about Natalie Cole, which we're going to play a little bit of her in a moment. But I want to leave this with you, share this with you. I think you posted it earlier on Facebook, but I'm going to share a couple of quotes with people. Enjoy life. This is from the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. Enjoy life. This is not a dress rehearsal. One day at a time. That is enough. Do not look back and grieve over the past, for it is gone. And do not be troubled about the future, for it has not yet come. Live in the present and make it so beautiful that it will be worth remembering. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Live life so completely that when death comes to you like a thief in the night, there will be nothing left for him. To steal.
Love that. Love it. Love
yes.
That.
Yes. So how many of us are living our lives like that? And it really comes down to streamlining. Again, like Anna said, clutter, streamlining, getting rid of things that don't make you feel good. Saying no. You and I talked about that today. How many of us have a hard time saying no?
No. It's so hard.
I lived so many years with that boundary being so flexible, the right person that could come along, and I have this guilty feeling, you know, well, you should serve, you should whatever, you should share your gifts. I'm like, but you got to give to yourself first.
Absolutely.
And I always think about the speech that you get when you get on the airline, and they say, make sure that your mask is your nose and mouth are covered first if you're traveling with small children, and then
I'm
paraphrasing
really
crazy, right? I'm paraphrasing like crazy,
really,
but
put your own gas mask on first. That's it.
Put your own oxygen mask on first.
And it sounds to some it may seem selfish, but it's absolutely not. It's not, because you cannot give from an empty well. You've got to take care of you. You know, and you and
absolutely.
I had a conversation this morning. That's the other book on my shelf is The Power of a Positive No. Because, you know, and funny, Anna and I had this conversation today too, where I told my manager, you know, yesterday, he said, I have a school, you know, can you come in and work? And I said, I would love to take a mental health day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. No problem. We've got some, you know, I called him back and told him that. He said, I've got somebody to fill it. He called this morning. I couldn't even bring myself to answer the phone because I know me, and I would have gotten talked into it. I know me.
So I had to
say, don't even answer it, because you already said no, and that no has to be good enough. You know,
absolutely.
It's something that I try to teach my students and my daughter as well. None of us like it, but you've got to learn how to deal with no.
Absolutely.
You know?
So I want to invite our listeners. Please feel free to chime in if you have a thought about what we are speaking of, or if you have a thought or something, information you'd like to share. We're going to go to the next question in a moment, but I also want to leave you with a couple more quotes that I found very profound. This is from the movie Fight Club. And this is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time. And this is from the New International Version of the Bible, Psalms 39.4. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And this is from the great Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It's only when we truly know and understand that we have a limited time on earth and that we have no way of knowing when our time is up that we will begin to live each day to the fullest as if it was the only one we had. So having said that, what would you have to be? And I'm going to double that question up. Let's not go to that one. Let me ask everyone this. What would you need to embrace to live your fullest and best life? And what would you need to let go of to live your fullest and best life? And again, I want to say that these are part of the visioning exercise that Asia mentioned a few moments ago. Michael Bernard Beckwith is credited with creating this series of questions in his visioning media kit that he has. And these are the questions that are asked. What might it take for you to live your best life? Who would you have to be? What would you need to embrace? And what do you need to let go of? Or what would you need to let go of? So I'm asking everyone, what do you need to embrace? What would you need to embrace? And what would you need to let go of? Open 718-766-4468. And I'm going to ask everybody to ponder that while I play a song from the late, great Natalie Cole. Cole and her song This Will Be, one of her many hits. She had a great catalog of hits. And Natalie had a few things to say about life as well. She says, she said that where I am now, this is a little later in her life, this is from her autobiography, where I am now helps me to look back on my life and realize that I really had quite a rich life. And she says also, or she said in an interview once, you must live your life, if possible, without regret. And we know that she battled a lot of things. I think both David and Natalie battled drug abuse at certain points in their careers. And they still,
I didn't know that.
Yes, both of them. And they still came back. They fought it. They overcame it. And they knew that at that time, the best bulk of their work or the body of their work was still ahead of them. And I think that's something that we can think of, you know, as far as what we do with our lives. Are our best days ahead or are they behind us? And if you believe that they're behind us, then as my question was before the break, or the questions were, what would you need to embrace and what would you need to let go of to shift that in your own lives? Open to commentary.
Hello?
Yes, hello there. Hi, are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Emmanuel. I've been listening, and it's really encouraging. Saw the post from Asia earlier on Facebook. I just wanted to say hello to everybody and, you know, thanks for having me on the call.
Peace, Emmanuel. It's so good to hear from you.
Likewise, likewise.
I said it's good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in so long.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. It has been a long time. And, yeah, I'm glad to hear your voice as well. And everything that y'all been talking about has been really inspiring for me. Right now, I don't have a lot of insight as to, you know, what to tell somebody about how to live their greatest life. I mean, I'm 28 years old, so, and like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm going through HE double hockey stick out here. But at the same time, you know, like I'm blessed, you know. And I've been really blessed in my life, man, just looking at, you know, things from, you know, from a positive perspective. And at the same time, I have, you know, a lot of things in my life, old habits and stuff like that, that I feel like, you know, I feel like I really want to let those things go, you know, even little things that are major things like cigarettes and, you know, just stuff like that, that just kind of like, you know, and how does that look? How do you, you know, how do you just change everything that you know and every way that you handle, you know, I think the major thing, if I was, you know, going to talk to somebody as like my future self and what I'm, you know, what I'm in the process of putting behind me and things like, I would tell somebody, you know, like the main thing to live your best life is to be honest with yourself and just like weed out all of the things that are not, you know, that you don't like about yourself. I think some, you know, you all probably already said that in so many words, but for me, I think the biggest thing in my life that I probably need to weed out to live my best life is doubt.
Woo.
You know, uncertainty.
You know what? Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
I'm sorry, but 2 things. Number one, I'm really glad that you said that because it's been on my heart to tell you something and I haven't had a chance. I just want to remind you that you are incredibly talented. You don't talk about it ever, but you are. And
thank
I also
you.
Wanted to say that you started off by saying you don't have a lot of insight, and that's ridiculous. You clearly do.
I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, I had to just come to grips with the fact that, like, for me, I don't know, you know, and maybe this might help somebody. Just, I believe in being transparent. Sometimes it helps me, and some, you know, you never know who it might help. But like for me, yeah, that's probably like the main thing is doubt. You know, like I've always, you know, I could go on stage and be confident as ever, and you know, I've performed in front of a lot of people. I've done a lot of different things that I'm really proud of. And, you know, I remember my mother who's, you know, she's passed on now, God bless her soul. And she told me one day, I was like 15 or 16, and she comes to me and she smiles real big and she says, you know what? She said, you're strong and you know, you do everything that you're supposed to do. You do well in school. You're doing this, you're doing that. You go to work. She said, but I know. Because I know you, she said. When you get up here and you lock yourself in that room and you're writing or whatever you're doing, she said you got a lot of doubt. She said you struggle with a lot of doubt. And she said, you know, she said I'm, you know, basically she was like letting me know that she was praying for me and that she was, you know, that she recognized that. And I never had anybody approach me like that, you know. Nobody was able to tell that except for Mama. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She was like, yeah, man, and like for me, you know, I don't know, man. It's the weirdest thing for me. Like I look at my life like, man, I could have the world at my feet, and then, you know, not just that, not to be like, you know, greater than or better than, but, you know, as far as having, you know, limitless opportunities and
right.
and being able, I have the potential to do so many things, and then I'm shadowed by so much doubt because of just because of I don't know what, you know, that's the thing. I'm uncertain of where it comes from or why it's there. But being on this call, you know, this evening has helped me to be, this is probably the first time in my life I've ever told anybody that, you know what I'm saying? And now I guess, you know, that's what I've gotten from this call. It's something that now I can deal with it. You know, I heard myself say it out loud because, you know, for the longest I didn't want to even be honest about it. I'm like, me? Doubt? Please. Look at what I can do. You know what I'm saying? But even while I'm accomplishing things and I'm overcoming obstacles, I still have so much doubt. You know?
Emmanuel, I'm sorry, this is Aletta. I don't mean to cut you off, but as I tell my students, I adjunct at Coppin State University as well as Towson University. And one of the things I always tell my students is that that's something that we all live with to some degree, doubt about things. And I will say this, and I'll share a little bit of my story as well, but the first thing I want to say is that it's all about focusing on the work that you do. It's all about focusing on your gifts and giving your gifts to the world and knowing that everything that you need will always be provided for. And I think if you can just focus on doing the work. And the other thing is focus on the things that bring you joy. Sometimes, and I know Asia will attest to this as well, many other people, we get so bogged down into feeling or thinking about what isn't working or think about our fears or thinking about the things that we're afraid of or, you know, the doubts and, like you said, the unknown. And what we really need to focus on is what brings us joy and focus on creating this work and just being, you know, standing in our own shoes and just, you know, and loving ourselves and doing the things that are going to bring smiles to our own faces and to the people around us that matter to us. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I can offer you. And I will tell you this, at two things. When I began to think about being an entertainer and singing and dancing and all of that, and people told me, well, you can't do that. Well, nobody makes a living doing that. Why would you want to do something like that? You're a journalist. You know, you can write. You've had jobs writing, and you can do PR, and you can do this, and you can do that. And I said, well, yeah, I do want to do that at some point. But right now, this is where my heart is. And I remember saying a prayer and saying, okay, God, this is what I want to do. And if this is not in some sort of contravention of whatever contract I have, then I need a job, I need a scholarship, because I didn't plan for this. I said, but this is what I want to do, because I wanted to go back to school and do it right. And all I will tell you is that within 2 weeks, I had everything that I needed. I had a scholarship. I went back to school. I had the perfect job that worked around my school schedule, and it was on the bus line because my school was 2 miles south, and the job that I got was 2 miles north of where I lived, and it was all on the same street, and it was just miraculous. And I can say that I've had, this year marks 28 years that I've been doing what I love to do for a living. I don't envision myself ever getting rich, but I love my life, and I've done things that most people only dream about or only get to do at the end of their lives. See, I've taken my vacations and I've done my all my stuff along the way. So it's a very different path. And there have been moments where I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Why don't I just go get a real job like most people and, you know, come home and watch TV and, you know, in the evenings. And, you know, I wanted that. And then I was like, no, you don't. So that's right. One thing I can offer. And the other thing is that when I was 25, I was suicidal. I was 3 days away from doing it because even though I was in a great pain and, you know, I endured some really tough circumstances, I knew that I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to be in that kind of pain anymore. And thank God I got the right person, made the right phone call, And it's been gravy since then. And the third thing I want to add is that Louise Hay, who is the publisher of Hay House, I don't know if anybody is familiar with her work, but she publishes a lot of new thoughts, new age people from, I don't know if she's been published, if she's published Iyanla, but people like that, Wayne Dyer. She started her publishing company when she was 60, in her 60s. So it is never ever too late. You have so many incarnations. As long as you're breathing, as long as you are breathing, you can put one foot in front of the other. And so I want to offer you that. Just focus on the work, focus on the things that bring you joy, and it all works out. And that's from my own life experience.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Posted something interesting too from an artist friend of mine. It talks about the artist, and one of them says, it's all of these things about the art, a list of characteristics of an artist, and one is dies inside when he is not creating. And where was the other one that you made me think of? Is riddled with feelings of inadequacy. When an artist boasts, he is usually covering up insecurity.
I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we all, that's what connects us, is that we all have, I wrote down release fear, release insecurity, but you only release it to the extent that you can. And then I love the definition of courage as feel the fear and do it anyway.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not that we don't feel it, it's that you do it anyway. And you have to, and I think going back to that question of what would you need to embrace, you know, I wrote down, I am enough. There is a place for me. Meaning sometimes I think, oh, you know, but there's so many writers and there's so many actresses and there's so, right? But no, like I have something that is unique, that is just what I do, that is just for me, you know?
Right.
And I also wrote down love. I loved that Natalie Cole song. It was beautiful. And partnership. You know, Deletta and I, we started off with, and we pray first thing in the morning, you know, or not first thing in the morning, but pretty early in the morning, together. And, you know, here we are hosting this thing together. And part of why we're able to host it together is that I ran into Deborah one day. She was on her way to the gym, and I was walking the dog, and I said, you know, I was doing this other course. I do a lot of self-help. I stay in a self-help book or course. And that particular self-help course was on habits of courageous and radiant women. And it's a couple named Lara and Johnny. I think you say her name that way. It's spelled Lara. It might be Laura and Johnny that do these seminars. And this was a one on the phone, kind of like what we're doing now. And one of the things that it said was, you know, you really want to take stock of who you're surrounding yourself with. Going back to Anna's point, right? What energy am I surrounding myself with in my leisure time? And, you know, I wrote down a list, like, okay, who was I around when I was most fulfilled? And I told Deborah when I saw her that day, you were on my list of people that I should be hanging out with, you know? And I said, I really would like to do some hosting.
Right.
And I said, I think I want to do like a radio show or something. You know, I need to get into some sort of talk radio. You know, I've always wanted to host a talk show. So I need some sort of talk show. And she said, well, you could, you know, come be a guest on mine sometimes or come host with me sometimes. And like that kind of partnership. When I published my book, it was under her publishing company, you know. So there's something about being with other people who share the commitment, and you guys we can still talk about our insecurities and our fears, because I love what you said, Emmanuel. You said, once I said it and I heard myself say it, now I can deal with it.
Right, exactly. Well, you have to call the thing to deal with it, you know, and sometimes we get afraid to do that. I want to share a couple of quotes and actually, some questions. I know we had asked the question, what would you need to embrace and what would you need to let go of? These are some of the things that I think about myself when I am sort of formulating a game plan, or I'm confronted or challenged or blessed even, I guess is the word, because even when it looks like it's a challenge, it's actually an opportunity. So I'm still working on, you know, cleaning up my phrasing as well, decluttering my language and using things that are more powerful and focused. But I ask myself all the time, if there is a possibility that I don't do this thing, whatever it may be, will I regret it? That's the question. Will I regret not doing some of the things that have come before me? And is there a possibility that if I do this thing, whatever it is, will I regret it? So if I don't do this and I look back on my life in maybe 2 years or even 6 months, am I going to regret not having taken this opportunity? Or will I look back and think, oh, thank God I didn't do it? So if there is a possibility that the response is going to be, oh, thank God I didn't, then we don't do it. And I just live with whatever that decision is. And I also ask myself, what am I looking forward to? What am I looking forward to?
Yes.
And I think that for me, that was a very poignant question, because like I said, when I was 40, I realized I had done it all. And the gift was that if God had taken my life and required my life, it was, okay, cool. Yay, I'm ready to go. I did everything I ever wanted to do. Now, the question is, but I'm still here, so what am I going to do now? And so I had to begin to create more goals for myself and to figure out, well, what do I want to do next? And I truly have been making it up as I go along. It's really, really fun, and it's still scary at times. And I'm still asking myself sometimes, did I make the right decision? But it all goes back to, well, it feels good, so I'm going to keep moving. I'm not hurting anybody, and it still feels good. So I think that's sort of along the lines of what you said, Asia. I want to just bring this up. David Bowie was asked once, what did he regard as the lowest depth of misery? And he said, living in fear.
Yes.
And it just chimes in with what you said earlier about feel the fear and do it anyway. And then the other thing is that he was asked, do you practice a form of worship? And Bowie said, life. I love life very much indeed. I love life. And how many of us can say we love life? How many of us can say that despite the challenges, despite the things, despite all the crap that's on the 6 o'clock news every night, can we still find the good in our lives? Can we still latch on to that? Can we still look forward to something? What are we looking forward for individually and collectively? What are we looking forward to? Right? So I put that question on the table. Anybody can answer. What are you looking forward to?
I think I don't have the answer to. Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah, I don't have like a complete answer of what you know, I look forward to a lot of things in life. I look forward to travel. I look forward to smiling faces, seeing people come together. That really makes my heart smile, like seeing a lot of people come together, you know, especially loved ones, and you know, just being able to bless others, that gives me life. But it's something that crossed my mind while you were speaking, that for me, it's like, and I don't think I'm alone in this, you know, a lot of people, I think in my generation, it's like, you know, we spent so much time surviving. Like, I recently lost my brother. He just turned 30 years old. And I was reflecting on, you know, I was reflecting on him, you know, earlier today. And, of course, the past couple of days is still fresh. And, like, you know, I was like, wow, you know, I'm looking at his children. And, you know, I'm just seeing how, like, we spent so much time surviving. And we never learned how to live. You know, and now it's like we grew up so fast. You know what I mean? And now it's like I'm 28. He had just turned 30. You know, and I'm like, wow. You know, all of this time we just been learning survival techniques. We've been learning how to be strong. We've been learning how to be warriors in this thing called life. You know, and we master certain parts of that. You know what I'm saying? But like, how do you live? You know, that's the main thing for me. Like, yeah, I look forward to learning how to live. You know what I mean? Every time I asked a friend of mine, I asked my neighbor earlier, I said, you know, it's his birthday today, and he turned 22, and I said, you know, I think, you know, what weighs in the balance more than anything is, you know, the type of people that we become, the type of men that we become, who we choose to be, you know, and what we choose to value in this life. We all have that choice. Like, what do you value? You know, me, I value my ability to forgive. I value, mm-hmm. you know, I measure and I monitor myself on how I'm treating other people, and accountability. Also, you know what I'm saying? Always checking myself first. Like, okay, did mm-hmm. I do everything that I could have done to, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. But I don't want to be long-winded, but yeah, my main thing is like, I look forward to learning how to live, you know, and I know that's, you know, that's like mm-hmm. a deep thing for me. You know, that's really heavy for me, because along with survival, you know, you pick up a lot of bad habits. You pick up, I see people living, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's a beautiful thing. How do you do that? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, right. You know, how do you not, you know, stressing? I'm learning from, you know, online, and I'm seeing people, I'm taking information and doing research on how to eat healthier and how to do mm-hmm. all these things. I'm like, man, I never thought about none of that. You know, I just thought about getting a meal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I never thought about what I was eating.
It all goes together. All of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what we're eating, what we're putting in our body. I like the question of, you know, what makes you come alive? I think that we, you know, and that's why I brought up the fact that you're so talented, because you have a gift, you know, and I think that part of your living is using that gift.
Most definitely.
And I hear what you say about survival. Again, you know, my story was one of survival. I know what it's like to be homeless, and I know what it's like to miss a few meals. I was there, and I know what that's like. And again, for me, it was just, you know, like you said, it's hardcore survival mode, especially being a woman and a young woman at that. So I've walked that journey. And for me, again, it was holding on to the fact that for me, it was that the situation that I found myself in was created by other people. And I promised myself that once I got out of that, that I would be in control. Well, we're never really in control, but I knew that the choices that I made, it was my choices that were going to affect my life as I move forward, not somebody else's. I would choose how I would respond or react to certain situations and not the people around me. And that gave me hope. And the other thing, again, when you talk about learning how to live, again, for me, it was just finding things that made me happy and connecting and just gravitating toward those things and incorporating more. And I think it sounds like you were absolutely on the right track with eating well and your artistry, and just stay open. If there's something that shows up that you feel a buzz about or excited about, you know, check it out and see. And, you know, don't limit yourself, and you'll find what you're searching for. And or you'll find the thing that you want and the desire, and it's all there. And that's for all of us. I think that's a lesson for all of us. We can't forget that we all can live our lives fully, so that whenever we take our last breath, that we will be satisfied with what we've done. We'll be satisfied with the choices we've made. And even if it's been a tough life, even if we haven't managed to accomplish all the things we wanted to, the fact that we kept trying. And I think the other thing is that focusing on the journey, we are so goal-oriented in this society. I think about, you know, I'm watching, you know, I'm a huge fan and my favorite team, sorry, Baltimore, I love you, but my favorite team is the Seattle Seahawks. And I was a fan from way, way when the franchise first started. But just so, you know, I don't get no haters. But but the thing is that I just really, you know, I'm watching the buildup, you know, during the playoffs. And, you know, the goal is a Super Bowl. And that's a wonderful thing. But how about enjoying the process of getting there? You know, and for ourselves, how How often do we enjoy the process of our lives? How many times do we, when we get the opportunity to show up as our higher selves, you know, we get these little challenges or things that happen, like somebody cut me off while I'm driving because, you know, I get real road raging. And I say, oh, no, this is the opportunity for me to practice patience and peace.
Right. The journey and the process. Hey,
right.
Zaletta,
mm-hmm.
DeForest is in queue and would like to share. You think
oh,
we should
absolutely.
Let her on her own show for a minute?
Why not? Why not? Hello, sweetie. Deborah?
Deborah, are you there?
Deborah?
Can you hear? Yes, can you hear me? We can
yes,
hear you now.
Loud and clear.
You can hear me now? Okay. Cool. You all are going. I love it. I said, I'm having co-hosts. I got another date for you if you want to do it. Cause, I was, I was listening via the internet. You know, I did TEDx Baltimore today, and it was awesome. And
yes,
so
I want to hear
home,
all about it.
Yeah, I got home, got in my PJs, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to listen via the internet. Because I don't want them to know. Y'all don't know my phone number, no way. So I said, oh, I'm going to listen via the internet. And then Brother Emmanuel called in, and he just shared so honestly and beautifully. And I was like, you know what? I had an aha moment this week about that very topic, doubt. And I just like, oh, I need to share this with people because it really shifted the way I look at doubt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so because of the interest of time,
mm-hmm.
we don't have a
yes.
lot of time, I know, I'm going to abbreviate it, but I'm going to say this too. I know he's still listening. First of all, I love the male energy. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you for that. Thank you for
yeah.
that, brother man. And, you know, also, no, I like young men. So, anyway, that's, we'll leave that for another time and another day. So, this is what came. I was listening to this video. I was watching this video. And this woman was talking about giving birth, really, literally giving birth to a baby, right? And she mm-hmm. decided to do it at home, not in the hospital. And she decided to do it without drugs. And she had set up the beautiful bedroom and with the candles and all that stuff. But she found herself pacing outside in her home. And next thing you know, she ended up in the basement of the home. And she just found herself saying, I cannot do this. Well, you get ready to have a baby, right? She's like, I can't
mm-hmm.
do this, though. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And she went into the bathroom, and then she got in there, she's crying, and she said to one of the midwives, she said, I need some help. So the midwife came in, and she was saying, I can't do this. And the midwife said, you are doing this.
Yes.
You are doing this. And she said throughout the whole birth, that she was just claiming she couldn't do it. And what she got present to was this. The creative process is painful, it's messy. I'm throwing this.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, doubt is a part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Nice.
Doubt is a part of it. Don't try to get rid of doubt. Just befriend doubt. Just like
mm-hmm.
we befriend fear. It's alongside of us in the journey of creating, of birthing something. And
yes.
I was like, thank you, sister girl.
Yes.
Because all of us are trying to get rid of doubt.
Yes.
And what you said, Asia, courage is in the face of fear, in the face of doubt, do it anyway. But with the way that she shared that, it really made me, brought me peace because I understand now that forget about getting rid of it.
Right.
Right.
Just go with it. You can
right.
be doubting right up until the moment
right.
that you burst whatever it is.
That's right.
And so the, you know, brother, he's doing it. He's doing it. And I wanted
yes.
to share that little piece because I know for me it was a big moment. It was an aha moment. It's like, okay, yeah,
right.
forget about you. Just, okay, you feel in doubt. Keep doing it. Keep moving.
Right. Thank you. Thank you,
it's
Deborah.
All, it's all right. So I love y'all.
We,
thank you.
Y'all doing
love
it.
You.
Fabulous.
Thank you, too.
I think they're going to cut us off in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know, and I want to leave this quote with you. First of all, thank you so much, Deborah, for allowing us to be a part of this tonight. I'm so grateful to Asia, my co-host. Thank you to everybody joined in, and I'll just share this brief quote with you from the Tao of Pooh. How can you get very far if you don't know who you are? How can you do what you ought if you don't know what you've got? And if you don't know what to do of all the things in front of you, then what you'll have when you're through is just a mess without a clue of all the best that can come true if you know what and which and who, the Tao of Pooh. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed, blessed evening.
Thank you, everybody. I love you guys. Good night.
Thanks.
Thanks. She Struts Radio. Good night, everybody.